资料。仅供沪江研友内部交流，禁止用于商业目的。
Number 8, you hear lecture on garbage. Today, let's talk about garbage. That's right, garbage. Think about this. How much garbage do you think you throw away every day? Well, in the United States, each person throws away about 4 pounds of garbage every day. In the whole country, that equals 180 million tons of garbage every day. That's a lot of garbage. What happens to this garbage?Well, almost all of this garbage is buried in different landfills across the country. A landfill is just a very large area, a big hole used to bury garbage. But with so much garbage, the landfills are quickly filling up. In fact, most of the landfills are almost full. So the problem is that there is too much garbage and no place to put all of it. We can't put all the garbage into landfills. Then what to do? Well,To solve the problem, we need to do 2 basic things. First, we need to stop throwing most of the garbage into landfills. And second, to reduce the amount of garbage we throw away, today I'm going to talk about the second part, ways of reducing the amount of garbage that we throw away. The first way is to reduce the size of the containers we use. This means that we need to make containers smaller.These days, many things you buy in the store come inside a lot of paper and plastic. These paper and plastic containers make a lot of garbage. Some companies have started to make their containers smaller. For example, in the 1970s, plastic soda bottles were very thick and heavy, so we had to throw away a lot of plastic. Today, soda bottles are thin and light, so we throw away less plastic.If we make all of our containers smaller, smaller, thinner, lighter, we will have a lot less garbage. There is another way to reduce the amount of garbage that we put into landfills. We can recycle some materials instead of putting them into the garbage. As you know, this means that we need to use the old materials in the garbage to make new things. Already in many, many countries, people can recycle their newspapers, bottles, and cans.But people are still thinking of new ways to recycle things. For example, some companies are using the plastic in old soda bottles to make clothing. Other companies are making shoes with the materials in old tires. Some companies even make garbage cans from old plastic bottles. These companies are trying to recycle the plastic we already have instead of making a lot of new plastic.It's very important for us to continue thinking about new ways to reduce and recycle our garbage. If we all work together, then we can solve our garbage problem.
Number 9. You will hear a talk on American family patterns. The traditional American family used to have a working father, a housewife, mother, and 2 or 3 children. But in the last 20 or 30 years, this picture has changed. Why has the traditional family changed?Well, the reasons are both social and economic. First of all, as you know, the divorce rate is high in our culture, and that's why we have so many single-parent families. Second, the employment among young adults is very high. If they can't find a job, many times they return home and live with their parents again for a while. But the most important reason for the changes in the American family is that most women now work outside the home.In fact, 76% of mothers with school-aged children are now part of the labor force. This means that most American homes don't have a full-time homemaker anymore. And that creates some new problems for families, such as who takes care of children and old people, who does housework, and so on. Some companies recognize the difficulties that working parents have. They know that people can't do good work if they are worried about their kids or if they are under a lot of stress.These companies are trying to help their workers by creating flexible new policies. Let me give you a few examples. One example is that, by law, companies now have to give a woman 12 weeks of vacation if she has a baby. This is called maternity leave. It's not an ideal situation because they don't have to pay the woman during this time, but at least they have to keep her job for her. Second, some companies allow their employees to work at home instead of coming into the office every day. They keep in touch with the office by computer and by phone. There is even a new word for this kind of work situation. It's called telecommuting. Commuting means traveling back and forth from home to work. With telecommuting, however, people are using the phone and computer instead of a car or bus. It saves time and money. Okay, another new program helps parents a lot. Some companies now have daycare centers at the office for the children of their employees. So the worker comes to work with his or her little kids and leaves them at the center. So I've given you some examples of new company policies that are supposed to make life a little easier for working mothers and fathers. But it's important for me to tell you that only a few large companies can afford to help their employees with these kinds of programs. For most people, trying to work and taking care of a family at the same time is still very, very difficult. In my opinion, our society and our government could do a lot more to help working parents, and I hope they do in the future.
Number 10. You'll hear talk about a secretary's job. The phone is ringing at the other end of the line, and it clicks as it is being answered. A voice says quickly, "Hello, will you hold please?" Then there is another click, followed by silence. It seems like hours before someone comes back on the line. That is, if you don't hang up first. Office calls are perhaps the most difficult and the most important part of a secretary's work. The first impression that a client receives about a business is very often through a telephone contact. A caller who is left hanging on hold will get the feeling that he or she has been forgotten or ignored. If a call is answered rudely, the caller may become angry, and if the call is not routed to the right person, the caller may feel that he or she is getting the runaround. Laura Needham is a secretary in the executive offices of a large manufacturing company. As a good office secretary, Laura knows that all phone calls must be answered promptly and handled efficiently. She knows that a secretary must be pleasant and helpful, no matter how busy she is or what kind of mood she may be in. She knows she must keep calm if a caller gets angry. Also, of course, she knows she can never allow herself to lose her temper. If she does not have the information the caller asks for, she must know who does have the information. Finally, she knows that one of her most important responsibilities is to screen telephone calls and to know which calls to refer to her boss, which calls to handle herself. A well-handled telephone call will give the caller a good impression of the company he or she is dealing with. For this reason, an office secretary who can speak tactfully and efficiently is a valuable asset to any company.
Part 3, Gut Feeling Exercises. Directions. This part is designed to train your ability to understand and spell words rapidly and correctly. There are 10 talks in this part. Each of them has some words omitted. Fill in the gaps with a missing word while you listen to the recording.
Talk 1. You will hear a talk about recycling. We hear it a lot in the news these days. Recycle newspapers and save a tree. Collect bottles and cans so they can be reused in the manufacturing of new products. Let's use paper as an example. The first step is to raise public awareness about the recycling process. Explain the kinds of materials that can be recycled and provide ways on how to properly dispose of them. Local government should educate the public on how to properly sort reusable materials from those like wax paper, carbon paper, plastic materials such as fast food wrappers that can't be recycled very easily. Then, a system of collecting these sorted materials needs to be established. Sometimes we become complacent when it comes to recycling, but when you speak in terms of actual facts and figures that everyone can understand, people become more cognizant of the problem. I remember reading one time that the energy saved from one recycled can can provide enough power to operate the television for 3 hours. Give the public information they can grasp, and then you will increase your chances of gaining followers. Second, technological progress has been made on many fronts. One breakthrough has been the development of a new manufacturing process to help remove ink from paper in more energy-efficient and environmentally safe methods. Recycling paper materials can be expensive in both monetary and environmental terms. The difficulty in removing print from paper, the amount of energy expended during the process, and caustic waste that is sometimes produced are costs that companies incur that are then passed on to the consumer. The final key is to increase demand for the growing surplus of resources waiting to be recycled. This problem has appeared in various regions in the world where the technology to process the used material lags far behind the amount being collected for recycling. Recycling is a crucial link protecting our planet. The three keys mentioned are important ways to achieve this end.
Talk 2. You will hear a talk about burglary. The figures for burglary have risen alarmingly over the last few years and are now quite appalling. Let me quote you a few statistics about break-ins. A house is burgled in Britain now about every 2 minutes. And over the past 3 years, the number of burglaries reported to the police have risen by approximately 50,000 to well over 400,000 this year. The insurance companies report that last year alone, household burglary losses rose by 27% over the previous year to £138.2 million. And I believe one or two companies are refusing to provide burglary cover in what we might call high-risk areas. There are nevertheless half a dozen measures which can be taken against burglaries, which I will briefly outline for you. It really only requires some basic common sense and a small outlay, combined with a little knowledge of the way a burglar thinks and operates. You have to put yourself in his position, really. Most burglars are opportunists looking for an easy break-in, so don't make things simple for them. Don't advertise the fact that you're out or away, or be careless about security. Even if you are just popping out for a quarter of an hour, don't leave doors and windows open or unlocked. A burglar can take less than 10 minutes. This time element leads me to my second main point, that where a house is hard to get into and will take a long time to do so because you fitted good locks and bolts on your exterior doors and windows, or even burglar alarms, the chances are that the burglar will move on to somewhere easier. Don't advertise the fact that you're not at home. There are plenty of these lapses, I can assure you. Milk bottles left on the doorstep, papers by the front door, garage doors wide open, curtains drawn in the daytime or undrawn at night, are all indications. From comparatively little, you can buy a program time switch that'll turn on and off a light at appropriate times. Not all burglaries happen while you are out, of course. You should always be wary of callers at the door who say, for example, that they've come to read the gas meter. Always check their credentials and, if in doubt, don't let them in. It's also a good idea to keep a record of serial numbers on electrical equipment, radios, TVs, and so on, or even take photographs of valuable jewelry, antiques, or pictures.
Talk 3. You will hear a talk about WTO. The World Trade Organization, also called WTO as the short form, is the only international organization dealing with the global rules of trade between nations. It has more than 130 members, accounting for over 90% of world trade. Over 30 others are negotiating membership. Decisions are made by the entire membership. This is typically by consensus. A majority vote is also possible, but it has never been used in the WTO and was extremely rare under the WTO's predecessor. GATT, the WTO's agreements, have been ratified in all members' parliaments. The WTO's top-level decision-making body is the Ministerial Conference, which meets at least once every 2 years. Below this is the General Council, which meets several times a year in the Geneva headquarters. The General Council also meets as the Trade Policy Review Body and the Dispute Settlement Body. At the next level, the Goods Council, Services Council, and Intellectual Property Council report to the General Council. Numerous specialized committees, Working groups and working parties deal with the individual agreements in other areas such as the environment, development, membership applications, and regional trade agreements. The WTO Secretariat, based in Geneva, has around 500 staff and is headed by a Director General. It does not have branch offices outside Geneva. Since decisions are taken by the members themselves, the Secretariat does not have the decision-making role that other international bureaucracies are given. The Secretariat's main duties are to supply technical support for the various councils and committees and the ministerial conferences, to provide technical assistance for developing countries to analyze world trade, and to explain WTO affairs to the public and media. The Secretariat also provides some forms of legal assistance in the dispute settlement process and advises governments wishing to become members of the WTO. The annual budget is roughly 117 million Swiss francs.
Talk 4. We were here to talk about Singapore. Despite soaring skyscrapers and rapid growth, Singapore retains its charm and remains clean, green and safe. Its excellent facilities and transport, first-class hotels, wonderful foods, fascinating cultural contrasts, and wide-ranging attractions draw an ever-increasing number of tourists. Some 6 million people a year visit Singapore, which means that during the year it receives more tourists than its residents. A fairly reliable way to decide what to do in Singapore is to approach the tour desk in the Hyatt Regency Singapore and ask for suitable recommendations. Now tours for fun, shopping trips, historical and heritage tours, and island hopping provide a taste of what is on offer. Your holiday starts with Emirates, the airline of the year 1999. More than 2 million travelers a year now enjoy the highest standards of flying with Emirates between Europe, the Middle East, West Asia, and the Far East. Serving over 30 destinations worldwide, Emirates will ensure your flight is a memorable one with its highly professional staff and outstanding in-flight entertainment. You will stay at the Hyatt Regency, which is located in the heart of the business, entertainment and shopping district, with 748 well-appointed rooms and suites. The Hyatt Regency is prominent among hotels in Singapore. For evening entertainment, you have 5 different restaurants to choose from, which include Italian and Cantonese cuisines, 3 bars and a nightclub. Energetic guests can use the well-appointed fitness center, which includes a gym and tennis, squash and badminton courts.
Talk 5. You will hear a talk about back pain. Last time we talked about the people who tend to get back pain and the factors that lead up to back pain. Today, we are going to discuss how to avoid suffering from back pain. So what can be done to prevent back pain? Well, firstly, women must ensure that their diet is adequate in nutrition. A diet may well be filling, but if the food consists mainly of packaged or tinned goods, then it could lead to undernourishment. All processed foods have been treated with a host of chemicals, such as preservatives, colorings, etc. Very often, the manufacturers nobly claim that they have added extra vitamins and sometimes minerals to their products, but this claim is a joke, because if the food has not been processed in the first place, then there would be no need to reconstitute it with synthetic vitamins or minerals, the natural ones having been laundered out in the processing. Secondly, women should pay attention to their posture and movement. A mother's posture is of crucial importance while she is caring for a baby or a young child. What often seems natural may often result in disaster. It has often been said, but it's worth repeating, that bending forward at the waist should be avoided, and that picking up should always take place by keeping the upper body straight and bending at the knees. This is a difficult technique to master at first, and people often forget it. But to avoid back pain developing, it should be practiced until it comes naturally. Making beds, standing at sinks for a long time, picking up a baby, bathing a baby, changing a baby, hoovering, cooking, cooking, and other household activities which require bending are dangerous if executed wrongly. Worktops should be high enough to negate the need to bend forward while carrying out work functions. Cleaning the bath and making the beds should be done in a kneeling position. Standing for long periods of time should be avoided, and lifting babies should be done in the way previously described. So, to sum up, mothers, or indeed anyone involved in looking after babies or children or carrying out household tasks, should pay particular care to their posture and moving techniques and ensure that they have a good, nutritious diet. In this way, they should be able to avoid the plague of back pain.
Talk 6. You hear a talk about telephone service in America. The first telephone service in North America began on the East Coast in the late 19th century. All of the calls arriving in New York were routed to the office of the early Bell Company. In turn, the Bell Company would switch the calls through a manual switchboard from New York to their destination for a charge of 1 penny per call. Later in the century, telephone services were established between Chicago and Boston, and between Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. In 1910, the Bell Company changed from a privately held company to a publicly held corporation. Later, the company changed its name to the Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Corporation. The new company was responsible for establishing the United States telephone system on a firm footing. The new company increased the number of telephone switchboards and introduced the use of electronic switches instead of manual operators. Later in the 20th century, as cables were laid across the ocean floor, this made communication with different continents possible. It was still very expensive for people in rural areas of the West to set up phone service, though. In order to lower the prices of the telephone services, the United States government forced the telephone company to allow local telephone companies to offer competing services. When the private baby bells were allowed to operate, the prices of telephone service fell dramatically. The telephone service that started in America over 100 years ago has developed into the most sophisticated communications network in the world.
Talk 7. You will hear a talk about health foods. There is a general term for the kinds of foods that are considered more healthy than the types of foods that are widely sold in stores. These foods are called health foods. Some examples of health foods include beans, whole wheat, and vegetable oils, such as safflower oil. There is a stricter classification of health foods, which include foods which are natural. Referring to a food as natural has specific connotations, and it frequently divides two preparations of the same food into separate categories. Fruit juice can be used as a sweetener that is natural, whereas refined sugar is not. Fresh fruits like apple or banana are natural foods, but fruit that comes in cans with additives is not. Organic food, the strictest classification of health foods and the most precise term of all, is used to describe a special kind of vegetable that is grown in gardens treated only with fertilizers, not sprayed with chemical insect killers, and that are not further refined after they are harvested. Organic meat, fish, dairy, and poultry products come from animals that are only fed organically grown feeds and that have not been given hormones to make them fatter. If we were to examine other foods available at the supermarket, they would show a similar pattern of processing and preserving. You see, people buy the food they eat on the basis of the way it smells, its colors, and textures. Instead of high vitamin content, the food manufacturers are encouraged to give us the things we want, even if some of the ingredients are harmful.
Talk 8. You will hear a lecture about Mars. Hello everyone. Today we will talk about another planet, Mars. Mars is one of the planets in the solar system. It is the fourth planet from the sun. It is named from the Roman god of war because it appears fiery red in the night sky. Mars is a relatively small planet with about half the diameter of Earth. The force of gravity on the surface of Mars is about one-third of that on Earth, The surface area of Mars is almost exactly the same as the surface area of the dry land on Earth. The Martian day, or the time it takes Mars to rotate once on its axis, is about half an hour longer than an Earth day. Its year, or the time it takes to revolve once around the Sun, is about 2 Earth years long. When Mars is viewed through a telescope, it looks like a red and orange disk. An observer can easily see white ice caps at the north and south poles of Mars. At certain times of the year, usually the southern parts of spring and summer, when Mars is closest to the Sun, great dust storms appear as yellow clouds. The largest of these storms can cover the globe of Mars and last for months. At other times, white clouds of water vapor are visible. One telescope provides the clearest Earth-based views of Mars, and astronomers use it to study the weather on the planet. The telescope has provided images of dust storms with such detail that scientists can find out the area on the planet in which the storms started. The telescope also makes general studies of the atmosphere possible. Using the telescope's images, astronomers have determined that the atmosphere of Mars is cooler, clearer, and drier than it was in the mid-1970s. The last time scientists were able to monitor the atmosphere closely. Okay, it's almost time. Any questions?
Talk 9. You will hear a talk about space. Today, let's only focus on how different cultures interpret space. Unconsciously, we all carry with us what have been called body bubbles. These bubbles are like unseen walls which define our personal space. The amount of space changes depends on the interpersonal relationship. For example, we are usually more comfortable standing closer to family members than to strangers. Personality also determines the size of this space. Introverts often prefer to interact with others at a greater distance than extroverts. Cultural styles are important too. A Japanese employer and employee usually stand farther apart while talking than their American counterparts. Latin Americans and Arabs tend to stand closer together than Americans when talking. For Americans, distance in social conversation is about an arm's length to 4 feet. Less space in the American culture may be associated with greater intimacy or aggressive behavior. The common practice of saying, "Excuse me," or "Pardon me," for the slightest accidental touching of another person shows an American attitude about personal space. Thus, when a person's space is intruded upon by someone, he or she may feel threatened and react defensively. In cultures where close physical contact is acceptable and desirable, Americans may be perceived as cold and distant. Culture does not always determine the messages that our body movement convey. Contexts, personalities, and relationships also influence them. Therefore, no two people in any one society have the same nonverbal behavior. However, like verbal language, nonverbal communication cannot be completely separated from culture. Whether we emphasize differences or similarities, the silent language is much louder than it first appears.